The title of the sermon this morning, just a single message, is Make the Most of Your Time. Make the Most of Your Time. It's a new year, 2022, new possibilities, new opportunities. You get to make a new start. You get to try again. You get to start over. But if you want to make the most of this year, of any year, then you need to make the most of your time. Your time is very, very important. Ephesians 5:16 gives us a command. It says, make the most of your time. Make the most of your time. There are a few reasons that we have to make the most of our time. The first is that your time is limited. Your time is limited. You're not going to live on this earth forever, are you? You're going to live 75 to 100 years if you're blessed to live a long life. And so if there's something that you want to do, you better get started because you're not going to live on this earth forever. Second reason that you need to make the most of your time is because your time is brief. Your time on earth is short. Not only is it not unlimited, but it's brief. 75 to 100 years may sound like a long time for some of our young people in here, but if you talk to some of our older folks in the church, they'll tell you that's not very long. And the older you get, the faster time flies. It just goes by very quickly. So again, if there's something you want to do, something you need to do, you better get started because your time on earth is limited and your time on earth is brief. A third reason we need to make the most of our time is because the Bible says that you're going to be held accountable for how you use your time. You will be held accountable. God didn't put you on earth to do your will or to fulfill your plans. He put you on earth to fulfill His plan for your life, to fulfill His purpose for your life. And He's going to hold you accountable for how well you used the time that He gave you to do His work. And then number four, a fourth reason to make the most of your time is because it's the best way to live. Making the most of your time is the best way to live. It's just intuitive. It's common sense. If you want to enjoy your life to the fullest, if you want to get the most accomplished, if you want to experience the most, if you want to do the most for God, well, obviously, you're going to have to make the most of your time. You're going to have to be time conscious to really enjoy your life to the fullest. Alan Lakin said, time equals life. Therefore, waste your time and waste your life. Master your time and master your life. And so we need to make the most of our time. But let's face it, most people are not very good at time management. They're not very good at using their time wisely. William Penn famously said, time is what we want most, but what we use worst. It's what we want most, but what we use worst. And so today, we're going to look at some biblical principles about time management. Believe it or not, the Bible has a ton to say about how to use your time. And it's got the best time management principles. Some of these, you'll say, well, I read that in a self-help book. Well, a lot of times, the truths that you'll find in secular books, non-Christian books, they get them from the Bible, or they line up with Scripture, and you'll see that this morning. And so we're going to find some time management principles in the story of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, if you remember, these are the sisters of Lazarus, the man who Jesus rose from the grave. Lazarus, come out. And these were very close friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so we're in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Just a short story, and we'll extract some principles from it about time. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. So let me point out 10 biblical truths about time. 10 biblical truths about time from this story. Number one, When I feel stretched too thin, I'm going to use this, I'm going to say these in the first person. When I feel stretched too thin, it's often because I'm doing the wrong things or I'm doing things wrong. When I feel stretched too thin, it's often because I'm doing the wrong things or doing things wrong. Martha, in this story, she was the one who was serving, busy serving, and she felt stretched too thin. She was upset that Mary was not helping her because she was just having a hard time getting it all done. But the reason that Martha felt stressed was not because she had too much to do. The problem was that she was doing the wrong things. It wasn't wrong to focus on her many household tasks. I'm sure that she was serving all of her guests, and that's a good thing. But it was a good thing at the wrong time. Often we feel stretched too thin because we're doing the wrong thing, which is could be a good thing, but at the wrong time. She should have been focusing on Jesus. And our problem isn't that we don't have enough time. You have enough time to do everything that God has called you to do. God promises in Philippians 4:19 to meet all of your needs, your physical needs as well as your time needs. God promises to give you all the time that you need, but he promises to give you all the time that you need to do the things that he wants you to do, not necessarily everything that you want to do. When I first started working at FedEx, they put together a company softball team, and I thought this would be a good way. I wasn't really interested in softball, not a good baseball player, but this would be a good way to get to know my coworkers. And so I played. It was on Monday nights. It was every Monday night, I believe, for 8 weeks or so, maybe longer. And it was a tough time because I felt very, all of a sudden, you know, my life was in good balance. And all of a sudden, just adding that one thing, because sometimes all the games were in Pelican Park, which is quite a ways from my house, way in Karen Crow. Sometimes the games would be as late as 8 o'clock at night. And so just adding that one activity to my schedule really stretched me too thin. And it's because really I was doing the wrong thing. I really wasn't supposed to be doing that with my time. God hadn't promised to give me enough time to do all the things that he's called me to do along with playing softball for FedEx. And so I finished up the season because I'd committed to it. And after that, I said, I'm done. I've had enough of this softball stuff. And I felt like a huge weight was lifted off of me. So we often feel stretched too thin when we do the wrong things. We also feel stretched too thin whenever we do things wrong. Whenever we try to do everything all by ourselves, we don't ask for help, we don't delegate, or we do things very inefficiently. For example, it's important to keep your grass cut, but using a push mower on a 5-acre lot is not a good way of getting things done. So when I feel stretched too thin, it's because I'm doing the wrong things or because I'm doing things wrong. Number two, a second principle is I can accomplish more by doing less. I can accomplish more by doing less. Now, who accomplished more in this story of Mary and Martha? You might think Martha because she was doing many tasks. But the right answer is Mary because she was doing the most important task. She was listening to Jesus. So Mary was doing less, but she was accomplishing more. Usually, the way to accomplish more with your time is actually to do less. You have to identify the essential tasks in your life and focus most of your time there, and then limit the time that you spend on the non-essential tasks. In other words, biblical time management is not about getting more done in less time. You can find those kinds of books at Barnes & Noble. That's not what biblical time management is about. It's about doing the most important things and doing less of the unimportant things. Brian Tracy said, effective people work on the vital few rather than the trivial many. Number three, a third principle about time management is that my problems are my own fault. My time problems, I should say, and your problems. But my time problems are my own fault. In this story, Martha felt stretched too thin, and she thought that her problem was somebody else. She looked outside of herself for the solution. Not that she looked to God, she looked at Mary. She said, the problem, the reason why I feel stretched too thin is not me, it's not my fault, it's because Mary's not doing enough to help me. So she didn't take responsibility for her time problems. She blamed it on somebody else. And if you want to get control of your time, then you have to stop blaming it on other people. You need to realize that if you feel too busy, it's your own fault. We all have the same amount of time. Time is an equal opportunity employer. We all make time for what's important to us. If you are overly busy, it's because you're doing too much. You're being inefficient. It's because you said yes when you should have said no. It's because you wasted time that you should have invested. It's because you're disorganized. It's because you procrastinated. It's nobody else's fault but your own. Until you take responsibility for your time, you'll never learn how to manage it. Because as long as you don't take responsibility, you'll wait for other people to make adjustments so that your life can get back to normal. You can get at a healthy pace. And that's just never going to happen. Other people don't cause your time problems. They just help you to see that you aren't managing your time very well. You can either get mad at other people, or you can change your behavior and make some different choices. Number four, busyness is not effectiveness. Busyness is not effectiveness. Just being busy, doing a lot, doesn't mean that you're being effective. Martha, in this story, was very, very busy. She was working on a lot more stuff than Mary, but she wasn't effective. Activity is not accomplishment. Just because you're busy, just because you're moving fast, doesn't mean that you're actually getting anywhere. You can be very busy and still waste your life if you're busy with the wrong things. So don't confuse busyness with significance. These aren't the same thing. You can busy yourself all week long trying to beat that level on Fortnite, or trying to get through a new series on Netflix. Say, man, I was busy all week watching that series. You may have been very busy, but you weren't very effective. You didn't really do anything significant. Don't confuse busyness with effectiveness. Number five, the enemy of the best is the good. The enemy of the best is the good. So Martha's problem was not that she was doing something sinful. She was serving others. Somebody had to fix dinner. Somebody had to serve the guests. Somebody had to clean up. Somebody had to sweep and mop and dust. Martha's problem wasn't that she was doing sinful things. It's that she wasn't doing the essential things. She wasn't doing the best thing. She was doing a good thing instead of the most important thing. Somebody said the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The most important thing is to keep first things first. And that's what Martha failed to do. The enemy of the best is often the good. The devil, it's been said, doesn't have to worry about making you bad. He just has to make you busy. If the devil can keep you busy doing good things, but keeping you from the essential things, the most important things, the things that God has really called you to do, the things that only you can do, then the devil's won. All he's got to do is keep you busy. Fishing, hunting, these things are not bad, but if they keep you from putting first things first, then all of a sudden they can be bad. Playing video games, watching movies, watching TV, sports, these things aren't evil. These things can be fun, can be a great benefit to a Christian, but if they interfere with the most important things, with your relationship with God, for example, with your relationships with the most significant people in your life, and they can become evil things. Even putting your kids in sports, that's not a bad thing. But if it interferes with church, if it interferes with discipling them, then that can become a bad thing. Number six, when others disapprove of my time choices, that does not mean that I am in the wrong. When others disapprove of my time choices, that does not mean that I am in the wrong. Who was critical in this story? Was it Mary or Martha? Martha was the critical one. She was the one who was criticizing. She criticized Mary's time choices. She said, Mary's not using her time in a godly, effective, efficient way. Mary is being lazy. Mary is wasting her time. Martha was very critical of Mary. She went straight to Jesus, and she told on Mary. But does that mean that Mary was wrong? Does that mean that Mary was doing something evil? Does that mean that Mary was being unwise with her time choices? No. Just because people criticize you for the way that you use your time does not mean that you're using your time wrong. In fact, if you're going to really get serious about using your time wisely for God, you have to be willing to be criticized, because you're not going to be marching to the same drummer as everybody else. You're not going to be following along the pattern of the world. You're going to be living according to the pattern of Jesus Christ. You're going to be doing what he has told you to do and following the priorities that he set for your life, and that's going to make you different. So other people might criticize you, dislike you, get mad at you, be offended by you. But that's okay, as long as you're managing your time the way God wants you to. Mary's wisdom in this story was that she didn't imitate others. Her wisdom in this story was that she didn't copy Martha. She didn't let the pressure of seeing somebody else get up and do the dishes move her away from what she knew was the most important thing. She knew the most important thing right now is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so that's what I'm going to do. I don't care what everybody else is doing around me. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus, and that's what I'm going to do. She was guided by what she thought was the most important thing. So you have to be very careful that you don't just copy the ways of the world, copy how other people use their time, and copy how other people set their priorities. We have to seek God's guidance for every minute that we have, and then ignore what everybody else says and does. Number 7, if I do not manage my time, others will happily manage it for me. If I do not manage my time, others will happily manage it for me. I want you to notice in this story that Martha would have very happily managed Mary's time for her if Mary would have let her. I think Martha was the kind of person, she would have managed everybody's time. She knew what everybody should be doing and when they should do it and how they should do it. And if you're not careful, other people will step in and manage your time for you. If you don't get really proactive in how you're managing your time, and if you don't know your priorities and schedule your time according to your priorities, and if you're not confident in Christ that this is who you are, who he's called you to be, what he's called you to do, then you'll be very susceptible to those other people coming into your life and saying, this is what you should do with your time. I've got your whole week lined up. I've got something for you to do every day of this week for me that you can help me with. So you've got to be willing to manage your own time, or other people will manage it for you. Number 8, time spent with God is the best use of time. Time spent with God is the best use of time. This is probably the big idea of this passage in Luke. This is probably why it was written down for us, is to show that even though Martha was doing a good thing, she was serving others, she was doing household chores, things that are important, things that need to be done, yet at that moment, the most important thing was spending time with Jesus. And Mary had discovered this, and so that wasn't going to be taken from Mary. Jesus wasn't going to scold Mary or stop Mary or interfere with what Mary was doing, because he knew she had found the most important thing. The most important thing you can do is to spend time with the Lord. If you're too busy to spend quality time with God, then you're too busy. If you're too busy to make church a priority, then you're too busy. If you're too busy to lead your family in worship, to lead your kids to Christ, to spend time in Bible study with your kids, then you're just too busy. And God promises to give you time for what's most important. So if you don't have time for what's most important, it's not God's fault. It's yours. Number 9, how I spend my time is a reflection of my priorities. How I spend my time is a reflection of my priorities. You know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So we know from the words of Jesus that how you spend your money is a reflection of your priorities. But the way you spend your time is also a reflection of your priorities. It shows what's most important to you. Martha spent her time doing all of her tasks at that moment when Jesus was at her house, because at that moment, those were her priority. That was what was most important to her at the moment. Mary spent her time at the feet of Jesus because at that moment, that's what was most important to Mary. There's just no way around it. The way you spend your time reflects your priorities. It's a revealer. Time doesn't lie. You can say that that God is your priority. You can say that marriage is your priority. You can say that your kids are your priority. You can say that your health is a priority. You can say that church is a priority. But what does your schedule actually say about your priorities? If many people were honest, they would have to say that their priorities are eating, sleeping, TV, internet, social media, video games, making money. The key to effective time management is to make sure that your schedule actually reflects what you want your priorities to be. And then here's number 10. 10th principle from this Bible story is that I cannot do everything. I cannot do everything. Mary could not sit at the feet of Jesus and do what Martha was doing at the same time. Mary had to choose. She couldn't do everything. She had to make a choice. The same is with you and with me. You have to make a choice. You cannot do everything. Time management really is all about choices. Your time choices matter because when you do choose to do one thing, you are choosing to do that thing instead of something else. It's always a trade-off. When you choose to watch TV, you're choosing to watch TV instead of something else. When you choose to play video games, you're choosing that instead of something else. When you choose to work late, when you choose to exercise, when you choose to go hunting, when you choose to take a nap, you're choosing to do those things rather than something else. You can't do everything. When you choose to do something with your time, you have to make sure that there's not something more important that you should be doing instead. It's been said that the key to time management is this one question. What's the best way to spend my time right now? What's the best way to spend my time right now? Just because something is fun doesn't mean it's the best way to spend your time. Just because something is not sinful doesn't mean it's the best way to spend your time right now. Just because something is a good use of your time doesn't mean it's the way you should spend your time right now. Every hour of the day, we should be asking, what's the best use of my time right now? And so, with the rest of our time, let me give you some practical tips for better time management. So we've got those principles in mind from that story in Luke about Mary and Martha. Now let's talk about some tips for time management. And these are all biblical. Number one is to give your time to God. Give your time to God. Actually make a conscious decision to dedicate your time to God and say, God, I want every minute to be spent the way you want me to spend it, with whom you want me to spend it, how you want me to spend it. My time is yours. Lord, I want you to dictate every minute of my day. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20 reminds us that we belong to God, and that includes our time. It says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body. You belong to God because he created you and because he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins and to redeem you. You belong to him. Your time belongs to him. And so the question is, have you consciously dedicated your time to God? This may be a decision that you have to make over and over again in life. Maybe as you realize your time is getting out of control, your priorities are out of control, your schedule is out of whack, you need to come back and say, God, once again, I want to rededicate my time to you. It's yours. Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will succeed. You cannot succeed in life until you commit your time to God. What does that mean? Three things. How do you commit your time to God? Number one, it means put God first in your time. Put God first in your time. Don't do other things when you should be spending time with the Lord. Whether that means church or home group or your daily quiet time, don't do other things when you should be spending time with God. Number two, Let God dictate your time priorities. This is the second way to give your time to God. Let God dictate your time priorities. Let God decide what's most important in your life with your time, the things that you should be giving your time to. Don't decide what's most important for you. You ask God to show you what your priorities should be. And then number three, this one should be obvious. Don't spend your time on sin. If you want to give your time to God, then don't spend your time on sin. That's something we can all agree on, right? That time spent on sin is wasted time. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out what God wants you to do with your time, but it's easy to figure out what God doesn't want you to do with your time, and that's sin. Okay, here's number two, second tip for time management. Take responsibility for your time. Take responsibility. We already touched on this. Take responsibility for your time. Galatians 6:5 says, you must each accept the responsibilities that are yours. You must each accept the responsibilities that are yours. The worst thing you can do is to be like Martha and to blame other people for your time problems, for your busyness. You have to take responsibility. That means that you need to accept that you are where you are in life right now because of you. That you are as close to God right now as you are because of you. That you are right now financially because of you. That you are right now where you are professionally because of you. Take responsibility. You cannot grow and move on and move to the next area of your life until you realize that you are where you are right now, emotionally, physically, because of you. And that gives you all of the power, doesn't it? That means that you have the ability to change your life, of course, with God helping you. But as long as you say, well, it's somebody else's fault, and that means you don't have the power to make changes. Other people have to change for you to change. No, that's not the way it is. If you want your life to get better, you get better. Rick Warren said, to make the most of your time, you must assume responsibility for your time. That's the first step. This means you stop complaining about how much you've got to get done and how much you're not getting done and how much you're overworked and overstressed, and you just start making some smart choices. Stop complaining and start choosing. Your choices control your calendar a lot more than your circumstances do. You may not like what you're doing, but you're choosing to be busy. You can't change your circumstances until you start changing your choices. Rick Warren goes on to say in this sermon that he wrote on time, he says there's three types of people in the world. There are accusers, excusers, and choosers. Accusers, excusers, and choosers. Accusers, they blame everybody else for their problems, for their time problems. They blame other people for asking them to do too much and for not helping you enough. That's accusers. Then there's excusers. Excusers don't necessarily blame others. They just make excuses for their poor use of time. They're busier than everybody else. They have more responsibilities than everybody else. They're more important than everybody else. They don't have enough help. Their life is harder than everybody else's. Everybody depends on them. If they stop doing a few things, the world would just stop turning. You're not going to succeed with your time if you're an accuser or an excuser. Instead, you have to be a chooser. You need to realize that you are where you are because of your own choices. All right, number three, set your priorities. Third principle for time management is to set your priorities. That's something that you have to consciously do. Author Stephen Covey, he has a good chapter on time management in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And then he also wrote a separate book on time management called First Things First. And he says, the essence of the best thinking in the area of time management can be captured in a single phrase, organize and execute around priorities. Organize and execute around priorities. Again, biblical time management is not about getting more done in less time. It's about getting the right things done. And so the foundation for time management is clarifying the right things, the most important things. The Bible teaches the importance of getting your priorities straight. It says in Matthew 6:33, the verse that we have up here on these two banners. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Seek first That means set your priority. You got to get your priorities straight. A priority gives two definitions. The dictionary gives two definitions of a priority. The first one is, it means being earlier or more important, precedence in rank or order, the right to be first. The second definition is something that is more important than other items or considerations. Your priorities are the things that are most important to you, the things that you value the most, the things that you want to make sure you get done. Now, I have some good news for you. The Bible gives every Christian the same top priorities. Now, our lives are going to look different because, for example, me and Scott, we both have the same top priority, God and spouse, but we have a different spouse. So our lives are going to look much different, but we have those same two top priorities. And so this is why, as Christians, a lot of our lives are going to look similar. They should look similar, some of the patterns of our lives, because we all have these same top priorities. Let me give you the top five priorities for every Christian. They all start with an S. The first is Savior, your relationship with God. That's your top priority in life. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success." That's number one, your Savior. Number two, your spouse. If you're married, your spouse. This is why if you're single, remember, this is a time of opportunity. Don't waste this time of opportunity on frivolous dating relationships. This is a special time of opportunity where you don't have this extra priority in your life because you're single. But if you're married, it's your spouse, your relationship with your spouse. John Capozzi said, "The executive who works from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day will be both very successful and fondly remembered by his wife's next husband." Number three, your third priority is your seed. That's your children. Your children. If you don't have any children, then your parents. Charles Colson said, "As I think back on my own life, my biggest regret is not spending more time with my kids. Making family your top priority means standing against a culture where materialism and workaholism are rampant. It means realizing that you may not advance as fast in your career as some of your colleagues, at least for a few years. It means being willing to accept a lower standard of living, knowing you're doing the right thing for your children, giving them the emotional security they'll draw on for the rest of their lives." And then number four, your fourth priority is self. Self. Your relationship with yourself, that is self-care. You are no good to anyone if you're no good. You cannot strengthen others if you don't have any strength. You can't encourage anybody if you're depressed. You can't take care of others if you don't take care of yourself. Self-care is not selfish. It's responsible. Brushing your teeth is not selfish. We all appreciate it. So you need to take good care of yourself or you won't be any good to God or to others. That has to be one of your priorities. Your diet, your exercise, getting enough rest, all those things. And then number five, the fifth priority is service. Service. That is the work, the particular work that God has given you, or the particular ministry that God has called you to. If you're a parent, for example, that would go right with your children. Your children are your one of your priorities, but this is also one of your primary callings in life as a parent. At this stage, while your kids are at home, is to disciple them. So whatever that particular ministry that God has called you to, Colossians 3:23 says, "In all the work you are given, do the best you can. Work as though you are working for the Lord, not an earthly master." So after these five priorities, you may have others. You will have others. You'll have your friendships, your hobbies, your bucket list, sports, your financial goals, vacation goals. But it's essential for effective time management that you understand your priorities in the right order and you keep them in the right order. Why is it so important to set your priorities? By setting your priorities, you're making sure that you make time for the things that matter most. You're making sure that you make time for the things that matter most. If you don't make time for the things that matter, then the things that matter will be taken from you. You won't be able to enjoy and experience their full value. Stephen Covey, in his book, First Things First, he talks about the compass and the clock. In fact, on the cover of his book, First Things First, is a picture of a compass and a clock. And he stays on this theme throughout the book. And he says, the clock represents what we do with our time and how we manage our time. But the compass represents our priorities, our values, our principles, our mission from God. And the goal of time management is to make sure that our clock is following our compass, not the other way around. Make sure that your schedule is a reflection of your God-given priorities and values. And then number four, here's number four. Fourth tip about time management from a biblical perspective is to actually schedule your priorities. So once you've identified your priorities, now you have to schedule them. Figure out what you want to accomplish in each priority. Figure out the daily, the weekly, the monthly activities or tasks that you need to do in order for your priorities to be what you need them to be, to keep first things first, and then pencil those into your calendar. Effective time management requires careful planning. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Don't think you can keep first things first without sitting down and planning. That's a hasty shortcut. Good planning. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Stephen Covey said, make time for planning. Wars are won in the general's tent. Bill Hybels said, your calendar is more than merely an organizer for what needs to get done. It's the primary tool for helping you become who you want to be. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, don't just use your calendar to help you stay organized and to help you get more done in less time. Actually, use your calendar to help you become the person that you want to be, that God wants you to be. So think about what you want to accomplish and think about the daily, the weekly tasks that you need to do to get there and put those in your calendar. And then your calendar becomes a tool to help you become the person that God wants you to be. So let me give you some examples. You start with your primary priorities. Your first priority is the Savior, your relationship with God. So you need to sit down and think, what are the daily, the weekly, the monthly things I need to do to keep my relationship with God first and to keep it growing, keep it healthy, keep it vibrant, keep it vital? What are those activities? You say, well, I need to go to church on Sundays. Let's start with the basics. So you put that on your calendar. And you schedule around that. You don't schedule church around your other things. You put that on your calendar and you schedule everything around that. And you say, well, I also think I want to do home group for this next quarter, this next 10 weeks. So you put that down on Monday night and then you schedule everything around that. And you say, well, I want to have a daily quiet time. I know reading my Bible and praying, that's a must if I want to be close to God. So you pencil that in, 7 a.m., 7 to 7:30 a.m. That's going to be my time alone with God. You pencil that in and you schedule everything around that, okay? So you use your calendar to help you become who you want to be. There are a couple of questions that can help you with scheduling your priorities. First of all, what do I need to do on a regular basis to keep first things first? What do I need to do on a regular basis to keep first things first? And then second, what do I need to do on a regular basis to grow in my priorities, to grow in my priorities? So you write these things down, you schedule them. And here's number five, fifth principle, simplify your life to make room for your priorities. Simplify your life to make room for your priorities. As we learn from the story of Martha, if you don't have enough time for what's important, then you're doing the wrong things, or you're doing things wrong. Remember that you can't do everything. You don't have enough time and energy to do everything. You have to make choices. Anytime you make a choice to do one thing, you're choosing to do that thing instead of something else. So you have to make sure that you're choosing the right thing. The problem with many Christians is not a lack of commitment, but overcommitment. They're committed to too many good things, and so they don't have enough time for the most important things. So, and we talked about this last time we were together, December 19th, about pruning. To become a more fruitful Christian, you've got to do regular pruning in your life. It's common. It's a natural tendency for us to just get busier and busier and busier. So from time to time, we have to go back and do some pruning in our lives. And so your schedule is like a flower bed. Weeds will always try to grow up and overtake the flowers. You have to regularly pull the weeds of overcommitment. So you need to look at your schedule, and you need to ask, are the activities that fill my day aligned with my stated priorities? Are they fostering the process or hindering it? That's what we have to do, pull the weeds. Howard Hendricks says the secret of concentration is elimination. You've got to eliminate those unnecessary things. Also, to simplify your time and your life, you need to learn to say no. At Church Acadiana, we have to learn how to say no to each other, and we have to learn to give each other permission to say no without getting offended. If you ask somebody, would you like to come do such and such, and they say no, you have to give them permission. Say, well, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to take that the wrong way. Realize that we've all only got so much time, and we've got to be wise with our time. We've got to keep first things first, but you've got to be willing to say no. Some people think that it's ungodly to say no, but it's not. Richard Swenson said, learn to say no. Saying no is not just a good idea. It has not become a mathematical necessity. If there are 15 good things to do today, and you can do only 10 of them, you will need to say no 5 times. Saying no is biblical. Nehemiah had to say no. Whenever he was leading the Jews to rebuild the wall, a group of men wanted to have a meeting with him, but he concluded that that meeting was not a good use of his time, so he said no. Jesus had to say no. After doing some ministry in the city of Capernaum, the people just wanted him to stay there, start a church, and just spend all his time there. He said no. The Apostle Paul had to say no. Whenever he was in the city of Corinth, they wanted him to stay there, but he knew that his calling was not to be a pastor of one church, but to travel around and do church planting, so he said no. Rick Warren said, newsflash, you don't have to accept every invitation, take on every project, or volunteer for every activity that comes your way. Two of the greatest life skills you can learn are the art of delegation and the ability to say no. The number one biggest time-saving word is no. Jim Rohn has figured out an effective method for saying no, and I like this. This will help you. When somebody asks you to do something and the answer is no, but you don't want to offend them, you say, I don't think so, but if that changes, I'll call you. I don't think so, but if that changes, I'll call you. Somebody said if you're being wise with your time, then you should be saying no a lot more than yes. And then number 6, one more thing. To make the most of your time is to remember that life is short. You have to keep this in mind. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us how short our lives are so that we can become wise. We've got to keep in mind the brevity of life, the limits of time. Andy Stanley said, remembering our time is limited provides us with wisdom to know how to spend our limited time. Time is limited, life is short, get busy living. Hurry up and do the things that God wants you to do. Hurry up and become the person that God wants you to be. Hurry up and disciple your kids. Hurry up and repent of your sins. Hurry up and stop the bad habits. Hurry up and start that ministry. Hurry up and lose the weight. Hurry up and change your diet. Hurry up and live. What's the most important thing you can do with your time? Well, the most important thing is to make sure that you're ready to meet your Maker. To make sure that if you died today, you were ready to meet Jesus Christ. You're ready to go to heaven. Make sure that you have a right relationship with God. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wisdom in the Word of God to help us to make the most of our time, the most of our lives. We pray that we can put that into practice. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help our church to make the most of 2022. And I pray, Lord, that this year, each individual in our church, each individual in this room this morning, Lord, bless them with a very fruitful, productive year, a year of getting the most done in terms of their God-given priorities. That's our desire, Lord. Father, we commit our time to you. Help us to use it for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.